My name is Garland Robinson. I want to spend some time today talking about grandparents. You know, it's a known fact that parents and grandparents have a great impact on the children's lives. There are many times when parents are not willing to let go of their children when they marry. And that, of course, causes problems in this new couple's life. When a new home is formed, these children are not under my care anymore as a parent or grandparent. They now have responsibility to each other and to God. Grandparents should be special people in the lives of their grandchildren, and I hope that certainly all of us would be in that respect. Let's read a passage that illustrates the power and influence on a young man by his mother and grandmother. This young man is one of the outstanding young men of the New Testament. His name is Timothy. He had a great impact on the world of his day and was a tremendous encouragement to the Apostle Paul. We read in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that in thee also." Now note that Paul referred to the faith that Timothy had and said it was an unfeigned faith. That means it was real. It was genuine. His mother and grandmother had that same kind of faith. They had taught and influenced Timothy from the very earliest age, from the time that he was a child. Paul later wrote in the letter, 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." Timothy was what he was largely due to his mother and his grandmother. Their influence and teaching made a great impact on him. Timothy's father, the Bible says, was a Greek. And there's no indication, though, that he ever became a Christian. But thankfully, Timothy was not influenced as much by him as he was by his mother and grandmother, Lois and Eunice. I can't think of anyone who Paul had more confidence in than he did Timothy. To show the impact that parents and grandparents can have on a child, let's take a look for a moment at some of the times that Timothy is mentioned in the New Testament. Evidently, Paul first met him and his family is recorded in Acts chapter 16 in verses 1 and 2. We read, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were in Lystra and Iconium." In Romans 16:21, Paul referred to Timothy as Timotheus, my fellow worker. To the church at Corinth, he wrote, "Now if Timotheus comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do." 2 Corinthians 16 and verse 10. Again, he's referred to Timothy, our brother, in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 1. "And again, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus." Verse 19. Timothy, like Paul and Silas, they didn't beat around the bush in their preaching. It was plain and positive. They were not left in doubt as to what he meant. Paul sent Timothy to learn of the state of the Philippian brethren in Philippians 2 and verse 19. And he trusted Timothy to tell him the truth, and thus he could be of good comfort when Timothy brought him news of how the brethren and the church there was doing. Timothy's mentioned in the salutation to the church at Thessalonica. And in chapter 3 and verse 2, Paul wrote, "And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith." In his first letter to Timothy, Paul refers to him as my son in the faith, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 2. And then in verse 18, he called him son Timothy. What better example could be given of the good influence of a mother and grandmother? Timothy was a great young man because of his rearing. I recognize that some have become faithful Christians who were not so blessed. In fact, all of us are personally responsible for our own lives, but how great it is to look back and know that we were blessed by parents and grandparents who were faithful to the Lord and taught and influenced us in the right direction. May we be sure that we set the proper example before our children and grandchildren. When we do our best, there's no guarantee that all will turn out to be what we want them to be, but the chances and odds of it are far greater. Every person is a creature of choice. They'll make their own decision in life. But still, we've got to point them in the direction they've got to go. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it." Paul wrote in "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord," Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Please note that we're to bring them up, not wait until they're nearly grown to start. The training has to begin early, and it must continue as long as they are in our care and in our influence. There's more to training and teaching than just mere words. We've got to set the proper example before them. Even then, they're still creatures of choice, and they can choose their own way, and they can even go astray. I'm convinced the prodigal son that we read about in Luke 15, he'd been reared right, but he still went astray. And thankfully, though, he came to himself and repented and returned home. I believe that was because of his training that he had received at home. Please remember that he never blamed his father for the troubles he got himself into. We will all be judged individually, and we cannot blame someone else if we're lost. But the help and influence of others is a great asset. Anytime one gets down and out, anytime they've made the wrong choice and gone the wrong way, the memory of good example, parents and grandparents, those who've gone before, all the great counsel they've been given, surely that haunts them in their mind. And that young man that had gone down to feed swine and would have eaten even the slop that he was feeding them himself, he said when he came to himself, he remembered the great teaching, the great influence, the great example at home, and he decided to turn around and go back. Oh, how fortunate young people are who are blessed with faithful parents and grandparents. There are so many great lessons we can learn from the Old Testament, especially the children of Israel. You remember how they were not allowed to go into the Promised Land when they had left Egypt? Rather than listening to Joshua and Caleb, they listened to the majority. The 10 spies who had said that, "Oh, you can't take the land, it's too mighty, too great there." In fact, the people even wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb in Numbers 14, verse 10. Because of their lack of faith and confidence in the power of the Lord, God said, "Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto we went, and his seed shall possess it." Numbers 14, verses 23 and 24. Moses was told to say unto the people, "As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ear, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that they have, that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear unto you that ye shall dwell there, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun." As we continue to read in that chapter, we find, "But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness." These people knew that they would not get to see the and possess the land, but it was promised to their children. However, we know what happened to anyone who violated the will of the Lord, because they died in the wilderness. Could not some of these young people have lost their lives along the way during the 40 years? Would it not seem plausible, to say the least, that they would try to influence their children in the right way? Even though it was too late for them, Would not they, like all good parents today, want the very best for their children? I'm convinced that those who eventually reached the promised land were able to do so because of the good influence of their parents and grandparents. Just suppose that for some reason we were told that there was not a chance of our going to heaven. We'd still want our children and grandchildren to go there, wouldn't we? Would we not use our influence in every way possible to see that heaven would be their home? Surely we would. As a parent or grandparent, what are you doing to influence your children and grandchildren in the right way? Are you present at every service of the church that you can possibly be? Are you teaching by example as well as oral teaching? Are you more concerned with their being popular with the crowd or right with God? I've known of some who wanted their children and grandchildren to do what everybody else was doing, even though they believed the thing to be wrong. I feel sorry for young people that's been brought up in such a way. I'd rather my family starve to death and be in heaven than to have everything they could possibly want in this life and be lost. What means more to you? Popularity in the world or being right in the sight of God? Only you can make that decision, but remember your own soul and the soul of those you influence, especially your family, your children, and your grandchildren, is in the balance. Think seriously about that matter while you're on this side of eternity. I realize that all people are going to be judged individually, but also know that all of us are influenced either for right or for evil because of those around us, because of family, because of parents and grandparents. Children, your obligation, your job is to do what is right. Accept the good counsel, the good advice, the good teaching, the good training of your parents and your grandparents. Honor them. Do what's right toward them. But make sure above all else that you are right with God. Doing those things that God requires you to do, especially using the good from your parents and grandparents, but rising above everything else to make sure you make your calling and election sure. If you want to go to heaven, anyone can go to heaven if they will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of their sins, confess faith in Christ, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and then live faithful all the days of your life.